This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Preborn. For $140, you can provide ultrasounds to 5 women in crisis pregnancies. Call now, 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229 or janetmefford.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you so much for joining us again. I got to get to some of this audio from Spartacus. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Spartacus, Cory Booker, the man who would be president, although I don't think he's going to be president. The man whom the religious left is placing its hopes in. I'm not kidding about that. I had told you that story a couple of months ago. Cory Booker, what does he do? He meditates, he chants, he talks about Shiva. He's a Buddhist. Yeah, he just covers all the religions, so he can cover all the things of the religious left. Anyway, Cory Booker is completely out of control. He was out of control during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And indeed, this week he has been out of control in the bid to replace Justice Kavanaugh on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Did you hear about this? This is just not to be believed. This woman, Naomi Rao, is trying to take the place of Justice Kavanaugh. And Cory Booker just seems to think that the LGBT Inquisition is a thing and that somehow it's his job to go after people whom he suspects of not towing the line on the LGBT agenda. You got to listen to some of this. Listen to cut one.
In a 2008 article, you criticized the Supreme Court's landmark decision in Lawrence v. Texas, which invalidated the state laws that criminalized same-sex relationships. You said that the court's decision, quote, eschews older traditions in favor of an emerging awareness of the meaning of and the scope of liberty. What, in your view, should the Supreme Court have been in the business of upholding older traditions, as you said, of laws that criminalize same-sex relationships?
Well, Senator, those were some comments made in the course of an article about dignity and constitutional law. And of course, Lawrence is a precedent in the Supreme Court, which I would faithfully follow if I were
confirmed. Are gay relationships, in your opinion, immoral?
Senator, I'm not sure, you know, the relevance of that to, you know, I mean,
I think relevant your opinion. If you think African-American relationships are immoral, do you think gay relationships are immoral? Do you personally believe that gay relation?
No, I do not.
You do not believe that?
No.
Do you believe they're a sin?
Senator, you know, my personal views on any of these subjects are things I would put to one side and I would faithfully follow.
So you're not willing to say here that whether you believe it is sinful for a man, two men to be married. You're not willing to comment on that?
Yes, you know, Senator, no.
All right. Well, that was awkward. That was really awkward. Also, not something any senator should be putting a judicial nominee through. Do you believe it's a sin? I'm sorry. Am I on trial here in a church? Am I somewhere? Am I in the Vatican? I mean, what's going on here? I'm trying to get a job on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Why are you grilling me like this? Oh, he wasn't done. Listen to cut two.
In 2013 article, you also criticized the Supreme Court's landmark decision in the United States versus Windsor, which struck down the provision of DOMA that defined marriage as only between a man and a woman. You said the court had found, quote, a novel constitutional right of two people's freedom to marry to recognize same-sex marriages. And you said that the court's decision amounted to a political choice, not a judicial choice. What do you believe the Supreme Court's decision to respect the status of a same-sex marriage, how is that a political choice and not a judicial one?
Well, Senator, in that particular article, what I was saying is that in the case in Windsor, did not recognize same-sex marriage as a right. It only recognized the right to have your marriage recognized if the state provided such a marriage. Of course, that later step was taken in Obergefell, but Windsor, part of what I was explaining was that it was a rather empty right that was in that case.
And you know, LGBTQ Americans have faced a long history of discrimination, long histories of violence, intimidation, bullying. Young LGBTQ youth in America report not going to school because of fear for their own safety at rates that are unconscionable. And a lot of the hard-won provisions that we're talking about became the law of the land very recently. So why is this administration currently trying to do so much to roll back transgender right protections and the like? And these matters could very much be brought before you under the regulatory conception that somehow protecting American citizens is burdensome.
Senator, I think, civil rights and equal protection of the laws are two essential values in our system. And if I were to be confirmed as a judge, I would firmly uphold that.
What was that, a paid diatribe by the Human Rights Campaign that he just put out there before her last answer? Good grief. And it really is an inquisition. It's a complete inquisition. Then, of course, he tips over the edge. This was kind of a funny moment. This is cut three.
Have you ever had an LGBTQ law clerk?
I've not been a judge, so I don't have any law clerks.
Someone working for you.
I'm to be honest, I don't know the sexual orientation of my staff. So I take people as they come, irrespective of their race, ethnicity, sexual orientation. I treat people as individuals. Those are the values that I grew up with, and those are the values I would apply if confirmed.
Okay. Why are you so obsessed with homosexuality, Senator Booker? You treat it as if it's your religion. Yeah, as if you have dogma that all of these judicial nominees better uphold or else. And then you go into long lectures on the virtues of homosexuality. It's weird. It's just weird in so many ways. Now, I was glad to see Senator Ted Cruz really take him to task for the way that he treated Naomi Rao. This was really good. Listen to cut four.
Senate Judiciary Committee should not be a theater for mischaracterizing or twisting nominees' records or views, nor should it be an avenue for persecution. We've seen a growing pattern among Senate Democrats of hostility to religious faith. I have to say, I was deeply troubled a few minutes ago to hear questioning of a nominee asking your personal views on what is sinful. In my view, that has no business in this committee. Article 6 of the Constitution says there should be no religious test for any public office. We have also seen Senate Democrats attack what they've characterized as religious dogma. We've seen Senate Democrats attack nominees for their own personal views on salvation. I don't believe this is a theological court of inquisition. I think the proper avenue for investigation of this committee is a nominee's record.
Yeah, fancy that. Can you imagine if you just stuck to somebody's record? I'm sure that Senator Booker would make the case that LGBT issues are a part of the record, but he goes way over the line. Do you believe it's a sin? Yes, it's a sin. Of course it's a sin. Well, then you're not fit. I mean, think if it had gone that way. If she had turned and said, yes, I believe homosexuality is sinful, would they have then said, she's not qualified to be a justice? Yes. I believe they would. There's no place for discrimination in American society. See, what they have done is they have taken the word discrimination and they have turned it on its head. And they now are doing reverse discrimination against Christians or against anybody who affirms traditional morality and the upholding of God's design of male and female, one man, one woman marriage. They are the ones with intolerant dogma. And they need to be called out on it. I was glad that Senator Cruz had mentioned the left's history of going after these judicial nominees and how unbelievably intolerant they have become. You remember what happened with Judge Amy Coney Barrett and how she was just taken to task and, put across the coals for her views. And she's a Catholic and pro-life. And it was insane what went on. It really was. And one of the things that David Limbaugh had pointed out at the time is he said, when leftists aren't denying their prejudice, they often selectively cite scripture to prove that Jesus Christ was a social justice warrior or that the Bible mandates open borders. In a 2010 piece, liberal professor Michael Shermer quoted the oft misinterpreted passage where Jesus says, judge not that ye not be judged. And he went on this diatribe about red-blooded, gun-toting, Bible-toting conservatives. Would they say anything like this? And it was just really hateful and really nasty. This is a long article that he wrote at the time about all of the times you see the left being openly hostile to Christians. Hey, when you're going to talk about victims and you're going to talk about people who are really the ones with their heads on the chopping block, talk about Christians, talk about Christian theology being on the chopping block, because we have all the examples showing that that's exactly what's going on in our society today. It just can't be denied. There's a lot to come on Janet Mefford Today. Stay with us. We'll be right back. How much is one life worth? Most of us would say life is priceless, and we'd be right. After all, what is the value of someone created in the image of God? We're asking Janet Mefford Today listeners, just like you, to help us save babies through the ministry of Preborn. How does Preborn save babies? Through ultrasounds. Preborn works with hundreds of pro-life pregnancy centers across America, providing free ultrasounds for women in crisis pregnancies. And 80% of the time, when a mother sees her little baby on an ultrasound, she'll choose life. It's that easy. We need your help to support the vital work of Preborn in saving human lives. For your gift of $28, you can provide a free ultrasound to a mom in a crisis pregnancy. And for a gift of $140, you can provide 5 ultrasounds to 5 mothers. All you have to do is call 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. Thank you for saving a baby's life. How can Christians stand on God's word at a time when radical activists want to compromise the church on the issue of biblical sexuality? A rising tide of LGBT activism is becoming apparent inside our churches. Wearing a religious facade, these activists talk about LGBT Christians and sexual minorities, and their goal is to move our churches away from the word of God. It's time for the church to defend biblical truth without compromise. That's why I'd like to invite you to join me, Janet Mefford, at the God's Voice Conference, a biblical response to the queering of the church. Sponsored by First Stone Ministries, God's Voice will bring clarity to the confusion surrounding revoiced sexuality and identity. Our team of experts will demonstrate how the language of the LGBT Christian movement is rooted not in the Bible, but in the same ideology that has wreaked havoc on our culture. The God's Voice Conference will take place February 22nd and 23rd in Oklahoma City, and we want to see you there. It's time for the church to bow the knee to God's voice. To register or for more information, visit godsvoice.us. That's godsvoice.us. We are back on Janet Mefford Today. Well, as hard as it has been in the last few weeks to hear about liberal politicians enacting late-term abortion legislation and even supporting infanticide, there's also some really good news out there for the pro-life movement. The National Right to Life Committee has just released its 6th annual State of Abortion in the United States report, and we're going to find out more on it now from Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. And Carol, it's great to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks, Janet. I'm doing great.
Good. Well, can you tell us what the report is all about? As I had mentioned, I know you do this annually. What are you really after when you're trying to tell people about the state of abortion?
We're just trying to get a good picture of what is happening around the country. So this 6th annual report looks at abortion legislation in Congress and in the states and what's been happening. It, of course, lays out what some of the legislative goals that we would like to accomplish on our way to overturning Roe v. Wade. It also includes kind of like what's happening, how many abortions are there, who is getting the abortions, what role is Planned Parenthood playing in the abortion access role, you know, what is their role. So
right.
It's just kind of an overall, you know, trying to summarize everything. Well, can't possibly do everything, but
right.
Summarize some very important points and the salient arguments in the whole debate.
Very good. Well, this is a staggering number that you have reported, and that is an estimated 60 million plus abortions have now been performed in our country since 1973. Who can even wrap their mind around that number? That is just staggering.
That is hard to imagine. Now, the good news is that the numbers are dropping. The highest peak for abortions in the country was in 1990. When there were more than 1.6 million abortions that year, we are now down to under a million a year, a drop of more than 600,000.
Wow.
But that's still, you know, 960,000 too many babies.
Yes, absolutely. Talk a little bit about the falling abortion rates, because I know the number of abortion clinics has declined precipitously over the years. We know that it's harder and harder to find doctors who will perform abortions. But where are we seeing the states? Because I know you get into some statistics here on abortion rates and abortion ratios. What are you finding state by state to be some of the most important trends?
Well, what we are seeing is that women of all ages, fewer women of all ages, are seeking abortions. More and more of them are deciding to choose life for their baby.
Yeah.
And we look at different trends, you know, how many, and it's not just, you know, we could say, look, the population is decreasing, so that naturally would lead to a decreased number of abortions. But if you look at the overall percentage of how many women of childbearing age are getting abortions, or how many, what is the percentage of pregnant women getting an abortion, those numbers are all decreasing, so that we are seeing that more women are not choosing to kill their baby. I don't know that adoption numbers are on the increase, and maybe these, you know, mothers are taking care of the baby themselves. They're getting help from, you know, grandmas or, you know, other family members. But we are seeing overall rates and ratios dropping.
Wow. Well, this is interesting. You note in the report that the numbers of abortions, abortion rates, and ratios are down in virtually every state. Now, where are you seeing increases in abortions? Are there particular states where the abortion rate is on the increase?
What we see more often is that abortion will increase if the tax funding is available for the abortion. So the states that do provide funding for abortion through Medicaid are going up. California, I expect we're going to start seeing an increase there, since now the universities will likely have to be providing the chemical abortion in all of their health campus health centers.
Right.
So we are going to start seeing those numbers, I believe, increase.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. What about Planned Parenthood in particular? Because I know overall, with the abortion rates going down, they're doing more abortions. What is their status at the moment? How would you characterize the health, as it were? I hate to use that word in relation to Planned Parenthood, but their business model, how are they doing on the abortion front, and how bad is it?
Unfortunately, Planned Parenthood is doing very well. They recently released their 2017-2018 fiscal year report, showing that they brought in $1.6 billion, that's with a B, for everything, whether it was government grants or reimbursements, whether it was private funds that, you know, people just donated to Planned Parenthood, roughly $160 million, or about 10%, came from abortions. They are performing more and more of the abortions. They are now more than a third of all abortions provided coming from Planned Parenthood.
Wow, that's really something. And still getting over $500 million from taxpayers. Do you see that changing in the upcoming year? I know a lot of pro-lifers are very disheartened because now you have liberals in charge of the House, Democrats in charge of the House again. But what are your thoughts on the likelihood of being able to, any time in the near future, dealing with the taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood?
We will not be able to do anything with that this year or next. It's not, you know, we would love to take away money from Planned Parenthood. They get reimbursed for services they provide to Medicaid patients. What we are going to see coming from the U.S. House of Representatives are efforts to repeal the Hyde Amendment so that our tax dollars are paying for abortion.
Right.
So that's, you know, instead of thinking we could take away money from Planned Parenthood, our fight is going to be preventing them from adding more money to the budget by paying to kill babies with our tax dollars.
Ugh. Horrible. Well, what do you make of what's been going on recently with this more and more radicalized view of abortion that's taking place? What we saw recently in New York, what we've seen going on in Virginia, not only the bill that was introduced there about late-term abortion, but also the flap over the governor. What do you make of the fact that there just seems to be more of a radical shift on the issue of abortion, ostensibly because there is a fear Roe v. Wade will be overturned? But what is your take on this development?
The abortion industry has always wanted abortion to be unlimited for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason the woman chooses. So, Bill Clinton saying abortion should be safe, legal, and rare, was his way of getting elected, trying to find middle ground or, common ground among the voters.
Right.
But the abortion industry itself has always wanted unlimited access to abortion. So what we are seeing coming up in some of these legislative efforts like Virginia, like the law passed in New York, is, I think, I don't want to say it's a good thing, because it absolutely is not. The New York law is evil. They're saying if a baby survives the abortion, you do not have to do anything to help that baby or to take care of that baby.
Gruesome.
But what they have done is pulled back the curtain so that America can see what they are really trying to do, what their end game is. The video clip of the state delegate in Virginia talking about how her bill would allow abortion up to the moment of birth is something that I think everybody, every pro-lifer, needs to be talking about and showing their friends, their neighbors. We need to make sure that people understand this is their end game.
Right.
Pro-lifers know it, and we're all horrified, but we have to make sure the general public knows it, because they would also find it appalling.
No, I agree with you. You're right. In a strange way, it's good that these things are being talked about publicly so we can make a strong point to those who are on the fence and say, no, this is how radical it really is.
Well, what we have seen from candidates in previous elections is that they don't want to talk about abortion. They will just say they'll talk about access to women's health care or providing health care for all. Democrats in Congress now are talking about Medicare for all.
Yes.
But abortion is included in that. They haven't wanted to talk about abortion. Now they are, and they are being upfront with it. And I certainly hope and expect that it's going to backfire, but that's going to be up to pro-lifers to make sure that everybody knows what they're doing.
You're totally right about that. Carol, what would you say is National Right to Life's prime legislative goal for the cause of life in the coming year? Do you have one or several? What are you looking at?
Our main legislative efforts for many years have been to educate people as to what's really happening. So we did the partial birth abortion because we want people to think about and talk about babies with brains, fully formed body, having the brains sucked out so that the baby, can be killed. We have been working on legislation like the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act because we want people to know unborn babies are people that can feel pain. Talking about the dismemberment bill and saying you should not be able to perform abortions and kill babies by dismembering them, tearing off the arms and the legs. We know that it's very tough to actually put in place strong, comprehensive protections for unborn children until we get some more of a clear signal from the Supreme Court. So we are using legislation to, one, of course, save as many babies as we can as soon as we can, but we also want to use it as an educational effort.
Very good. Well, Carol Tobias from the National Right to Life Committee, you can check out more on the State of Abortion in the United States report over at nrlc.org. That's nrlc.org. And Carol, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate all the work that you do. This hour of Janet Mefford Today is brought to you by Roadside Attractions Run the Race. Two brothers share an unbreakable bond, but life's unexpected adversities put their future in question. Run the Race, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters February 22nd. We'll be right back on Janet Mefford Today. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org. We are back on Janet Mefford Today. Thank you to each and every one of you who have been helping us with the exciting ministry of Preborn. They work with crisis pregnancy centers all across the nation to provide free ultrasounds for women in crisis pregnancies. And 8 out of 10 times when a woman sees her baby on an ultrasound, she will choose life. And thanks to you, we have saved 315 babies so far, and we really are excited about that. If you haven't had the chance to call, the number is 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229. And for a gift of $140, you can provide 5 free ultrasounds to young women who need to choose life. Well, we are really excited to welcome back to the show Dan Steiner, National Director of Preborn. And I want to get his take on some of the recent pro-life news and find out what's going on across the country and in some of these clinics. And Dan, thank you so much for joining us again.
This is my pleasure, Janet. And thank you so much to you and especially your listeners for the very successful campaign that we've had, the help that your listeners have given in providing practical care and a precious first-time experience for these young moms in our clinics to meet their babies live on ultrasound. I mean, it's just a life-changing moment for both the mother and, of course, the baby.
Well, it is. We're really, really honored to partner with you guys, Dan. And I am also very grateful for our great Janet Mefford Today listeners because they are the best and they have been so generous. And I know that they are strongly pro-life. They care about babies. And, you know, Dan, this is the thing. We have seen so much on the abortion issue in the last couple of weeks. For example, we saw what went on in New York and how awful it is to think that that radical state would go so far as to pass this law where they would, you know, allow for a baby to be killed all the way up to the moment of birth. And I understand you have a clinic there in New York. Maybe you can tell us about this. How are these clinics impacted by this law in New York? What can you tell us about what's going on the ground?
Well, the pregnancy clinic there are just very concerned about the aggressive nature of the government's attitude towards the clinics and towards life. They are specifically targeting pregnancy clinics. The abortion industry is through leveraging Como, the state and city governments, to make it more difficult. There's legislation in the works to actually come against the abortion or come against our clinics, and the abortion lobby is pushing that
really
beyond what has made the media of legalizing, essentially codifying abortion as a civil right in the state of New York. There's also legislation, authorizing cities and the government to investigate pregnancy clinics as if we were doing something wrong. So it's just a very hostile, the most hostile situation in America for this, for our clinics to operate. So it's hard enough dealing with the women, and then you got to deal with hostile governments on top of it.
Yeah. What do you think is driving these lawmakers to move in such a radical direction on the issue of life? A lot of people are just scratching their heads over it all.
Yeah. It's just, I don't understand, Janet, why we are so on their landscape except for their principled stance against it in their own worldview, which is, as we know, very unprincipled. But in the face of that, we will continue day in and week out just offering free alternatives to women as long as we can. We started a clinic there about the end of December, opened a full-time clinic there in New York City. So this is really near and dear and close to home for us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, Dan, I know we have talked before about what goes on at these clinics when these abortion-minded women come in and they, you know, may not want to pay for an ultrasound, but because of the generosity of our listeners, they're able to obtain one. What are some of the experiences that you could share with people about the reaction of a woman once she crosses over from being abortion-minded to seeing her child in her womb on that ultrasound and all of a sudden saying, I don't know what I was thinking. I have to save my child. What is that like on a personal level when you see a woman do that?
Well, it's just such a life-changing moment for both the mother and the child. I think of a woman that came in, and she was in the most desperate of situations, Janet. The father of the baby had been killed in a gang shooting. Here she was, pregnant, homeless, and we're trying to convince her not to have an abortion, and she just doesn't have anything. You know, she doesn't have any support. She doesn't have a place to live. Very difficult situation for this young mother. Her name was Jen. And so what we did was talk to her for a while with no luck. When she was taken back to the ultrasound room, there was a second trimester baby, which is a fully formed, you know, we're talking eyebrows and, you know, fingers and the whole bit. And she just about fell off the table when she realized what she was thinking of doing to her baby.
Yeah.
And she just was cut to the heart and said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I mean, I can't have this abortion. And so that's where we come in, and where the listeners of Janet Mefford come in providing her with free alternatives, you know, housing, referrals that she could get to help her with trying to get a job, and just all the things that are practical for her to be able to choose life. And happy to report that Jennifer did choose life. She's in a woman's shelter right now in the city where our clinic is. And, you know, both mom and baby are doing great because that ultrasound shattered all of the opposing circumstances with the reality that it's her baby right there in her womb. And it's just, you know, the best weapon we have in our arsenal, frankly, to combat abortion in America.
Those stories are so important for people to hear because, I mean, this is just literally a matter of life and death, as we all know. This is not just about the physical lives of these children who are in the womb and are counting on their mommies to bring them into the world safely, but it's also about eternal life. And as we've discussed before, Dan, it's exciting to see the evangelism component of preborn as well. The thousands of women who have come to know the Lord through preborn as well.
Yeah, it's been over 4,000 in 2018, over 25,000 in the last 12 years. This is a key component of what we do. It's so important that that mother have a life change, the baby obviously getting to choose life, but then the mother still in the same worldview and same decision-making, poor decision-making mindset. And, you know, really needs a change of heart. And that change of heart can only be done through Jesus Christ. And so evangelism is centristic to what we do. It's our key value of preborn, and our centers lead the nation and the percent of women that actually come to Christ in our clinics. So it's a vital component of what we do. And it is probably the most life-changing thing because it's a life that lasts forever, promised by Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, and the fact that when that baby does come into the world, now that baby has a mother who's a Christian. And so that makes a difference potentially for generations.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. If the mother does not choose Christ but does choose life, that baby could be raised in a home that wouldn't never lead it to faith in Christ. And, you know, 80 years later, that child could end up alienated from God as well as the mother. And so the importance of what goes on in that appointment, both the ultrasound for the baby's life and the gospel of Jesus Christ for the mother and baby's life, cannot be understated. Yeah. This is life and death for earth and for eternity, hinging on both that ultrasound to bring the truth and the reality of a tiny little baby's life, and then, of course, the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to convict.
Absolutely. Well, the number to call, 855-402-BABY. If you can give a gift today to provide a free ultrasound, $28 is all it takes. 855-402-BABY, 855-402-2229. Dan Steiner, thank you. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. How can Christians stand on God's word at a time when radical activists want to compromise the church on the issue of biblical sexuality? A rising tide of LGBT activism is becoming apparent inside our churches. Wearing a religious facade, these activists talk about LGBT Christians and sexual minorities, and their goal is to move our churches away from the word of God. It's time for the church to defend biblical truth without compromise. That's why I'd like to invite you to join me, Janet Mefford, at the God's Voice Conference, a biblical response to the queering of the church. Sponsored by First Stone Ministries, God's Voice will bring clarity to the confusion surrounding revoiced sexuality and identity. Our team of experts will demonstrate how the language of the LGBT Christian movement is rooted not in the Bible, but in the same ideology that has wreaked havoc on our culture. The God's Voice Conference will take place February 22nd and 23rd in Oklahoma City, and we want to see you there. It's time for the church to bow the knee to God's voice. To register or for more information, visit godsvoice.us. That's godsvoice.us. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. Boy, this just doesn't surprise me at all. This is via LifeSite News. Magical Pride will be Disney's first ever official pro-homosexual pride event, taking place in June in Paris, France. Paris's Disneyland states on its website, "Live your best life and shine with the joy of diversity." At Magical Pride, a dazzling party lighting up Disneyland Paris on the 1st of June. Dress like a dream, feel fabulous, and experience Walt Disney Studios Park like never before, loud, proud, and alive with all the colors of the rainbow. According to a company website, it's all to kick off Gay Pride Month, and the Disney Studios Park in Paris will be privatized for a special pride party, including a dance party, light night access to the amusement park, and a parade. A Disney spokesman said, "Diversity and equality are strong values at Disneyland Paris, and each year we host millions of visitors regardless of their origins, gender, or sexual orientation. We're committed to fostering a welcoming environment for all our guests where magic is for everyone." Can you imagine what Walt Disney would say about all this if he were here right now? He wouldn't be going along with this, I can tell you that much. Boy, it is just not surprising, as I say. We've had gay days at Disney for many years, but this is a step further. And it really is the case that all of this has gone too far. It's been the case for quite a while that it's all gone too far. And as you know, I talked with Stephen Broden, pastor of Fair Park Bible Fellowship, just a few days ago, and we were discussing this new Gone Too Far movement. Well, they held their press conference on Capitol Hill, and I wanted to play a few cuts from this press conference for you so you could hear some of the great things that they were saying. It was fabulous. You can watch it on Facebook. You can watch the whole thing, which I did. And it is just wonderful at this National Press Club event just this week. I wanted to play a little bit here from Pastor Dan Fisher of Fairview Baptist Church in Oklahoma, talking a little bit about his convictions. This is Cut 5.
My task today is to address our proclamation for morality as a part of this effort that we're promoting. We believe that those seeking to eradicate all remnants of morality in America by legislating immorality through H.R. 2282 have now gone, as we have said, too far. Christians everywhere should be alarmed and moved to action by the effort to pervert the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
That's right.
By definition, a Christian is one who is a follower of Jesus Christ,
right,
and has surrendered to his saving work and lordship.
Yeah. Right.
Additionally, God's word teaches that true Christians live lives of obedience to God's principles by pursuing his holiness.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you love me, yeah, you will obey me. Samuel, the Old Testament prophet, declared, obeying God is better than sacrifice. Right. And Micah, another Old Testament prophet, preached that we should do that which is right. We turn to the truth of God's word in order to understand that which is right. Jesus even called himself the truth. Yeah. All truth is God's truth, yeah, and his truth applies to all people. There is not one truth for men and another for women. One for blacks, another for whites.
Right, right.
One for heterosexuals, and another for those identifying as LGBTQ.
Right.
There is just truth.
Love it. Amen, brother. That's fantastic. And then he goes on about God's design. This is also excellent. This is Cut 6.
God created mankind, human sexuality, and the institution of marriage, so he alone has the authority to define them and regulate them.
Yes. Right.
The book of Genesis declares that God created the first man and woman as complementary sexual beings, right, joined them together as husband and wife, mm-hmm, and declared sexual intimacy within marriage,
yes,
as pure. For the purpose of purity and oneness, God commanded husbands and wives to be faithful to one another in every way, especially through sexual fidelity.
Mm. Amen.
When asked about marriage, Jesus quoted from Genesis and reiterated that marriage is exclusively a union of a biological man and a biological woman.
That's right.
He further teaches that any sexual activity outside of God's original definition and purpose is sin. Unlike skin color,
right,
ethnicity, mm-hmm, biological sexual identity, and other immutable genetic traits,
yes,
one's sexual behavior is an act of choice,
yes,
and therefore can be and must be governed by moral and man-made laws.
Mm-hmm.
Immoral behavior is not a civil right.
That's right. Right.
Immoral behavior is not a civil right.
Oh, amen to that. Dan, it was so great to hear Dan preaching like that and saying what we all know is true. And I wish every pastor in America would get up in the pulpit and say the exact same thing. And then we wouldn't be in this conundrum, I don't think. Stephen Black, my good friend, who's going to be part of our God's Voice conference coming up in Oklahoma City in just a few weeks. godsvoice.us. Register now. We want you to be there. He was at this press conference talking about the freedom that he's seen. And of course, he works as executive director with First Stone Ministries. He's an ex-homosexual himself, and he works to minister to those who are enmeshed in sexual brokenness. And he had some great stuff to say. Listen to Cut 7.
I have enjoyed seeing people find lasting freedom. And in August of this last year, our ministry produced a report called Freedom Realized, the First Stone Ministries Effectiveness Survey, that conclusively shows that over 1,200 client folders showed that 72% of those that did the survey found lasting freedom. 72%, you won't hear these numbers. It conclusively shows that people over a 25-year span found this freedom in Jesus Christ. These behaviors are not immutable.
Yeah.
Justice Kennedy, that's the reason why he voted for gay marriage. No, they would have you believe a ruse and a lie that people can't change. And I'm here to tell you that the grace of God,
yeah,
in the power of our Lord Jesus,
yeah,
Christ,
yeah,
absolutely can change the internal world,
yeah,
of thinking. And nobody has to take on a sin construct of words put before Christ,
yeah,
as an abominable act,
yeah,
of saying gay Christian. That's heresy.
He's really great, isn't he? This is why we love Stephen. He also talked about the ongoing quest to ban therapy. Ban therapy for kids, for example, who have been sexually abused and maybe struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction. These radicals want to ban therapy in every state. They want to ban it on the national level. Stephen had this to say. This is Cut 8.
I want to address the war on therapists.
Come on. Mm.
From the LGBT community and from these political advocates,
yeah,
mm-hmm, they have deemed that all counselors helping people find resolution in their sexually confused
teenage years and youth that they should not receive counseling and therapy. They call it conversion therapy. Yeah. That's a ruse term.
Yeah, right.
It's made up,
yeah.
And it is to ban the ability for young people to get help.
Yeah,
now,
right.
I'm just going to call it what it is.
Right.
This is nothing more than trying to take our sexually confused youth
mm-hmm.
and bind them into LGBTQ chaos.
That's right.
These are called, these conversion therapy bans, they need to be renamed.
Yeah.
Gay is the only way for sexually confused children.
Yeah.
That is tragic.
Yeah, he's really right. Don't you want to hear more of Stephen Black? You definitely want to hear more of Stephen Black. And Dan Fisher also is the pastor of the church where we will be holding God's Voice Conference. We're so excited about it. So I want to do a little pitch because Gone Too Far actually is promoting our conference as well. GodsVoice.us is the website to go to, and it will bring biblical clarity to the recent confusion surrounding the issues of revoiced sexuality and so-called LGBTQ plus Christians. God's Voice will be presenting a biblical response to the querying of the Church of Jesus Christ in an effort to teach and strengthen and encourage believers and also Christian leaders across all denominations to stand on the inerrant, authoritative, unchanging, and life-transforming power of the Word of God. We really believe with all our hearts that what the Church must have now on this issue is God's voice, as it needs God's voice on every issue. And the verse that we're pointing to is Jeremiah 7, verse 23. But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. It's all about following the Lord. It's all about tuning out the voices that would distract you from the Lord. It's all about tuning out the serpent saying, did God really say? You can't answer that question unless you know your Bible. And it's all about standing on the Word of God. So we would love for you to come. We still have some spots left, and we're really excited about how many of you have already signed up and registered to come. We're excited. GodsVoice.us is the website, and you've got a little bit more time, but we really want you to act now because those spots are filling up fast, and we would love to have you there. I'd love to meet you. So if you're able to come, please do. GodsVoice.us. And I just want to thank those brave pastors and leaders who showed up at the Gone Too Far Movement press conference and are part of the effort there to stand on the Judeo-Christian ethics, stand for biblical morality, and stand on the Word of God. They are great brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's just terrific to see so many Christians finally waking up and taking a stand. Boy, do we need it. So you can go to gone2far.org and find out more about that great movement. We've got to go. Thanks for being with us here on Janet Mefford Today, and we'll see you next time.